Well, I'd just like to thank the Lord for being with you all this morning. It's good to be back. It seems like it's been a while since we were out this way. Pray that the Lord would bless His Word today. I've got some thoughts on my heart today, and I've been thinking about this for some time now, a few weeks now, and how do we come to God? So think back before you got saved or before you were coming to church, or how are we to come to God? If you have somebody that you're maybe testifying to or somebody that you're trying to minister to, and you're trying to talk to them about, maybe you're inviting them to church, or maybe you're talking to them about their soul, and what would be your advice to them and how to come to God? We were talking this morning, my wife and I, about somebody that was giving a testimony, and they were talking about how they had some things in their life that they didn't like. They weren't really ready to get saved yet, but they felt like they needed to change some things in their life. And so they in their particular case were trying to stop cursing. They cursed a whole lot, and I don't know, maybe they just got tired of it. They were getting a bad taste in their mouth over it, and they didn't seem to have the ability to quit. And I think of somebody that maybe has an addiction to alcohol or addiction to drugs or some other kind of hindrance in their lives that they feel like that they got to get rid of in order to come to God. Would we say that's true? Would we say that to somebody if we were talking to them about their soul and we were talking about them? Maybe we were even inviting them to church. How would we go about that? If you had met somebody on your way to church, and I had this happen, and Lord forgive me, I didn't stop, but I thought about it. I thought about inviting somebody to church right on my way to church. I just so happened to be driving by myself that day, and I was going to church, and I saw some guy on the side of the road with a sign, and I thought, you know what? As I passed by, you know, they're on the highway or whatever, I thought, you know, I should have invited him to come. How would I have invited him to come? Would I have stopped and said, okay, I want you to come to church with me. Let's go somewhere and get you some new clothes. Let's go somewhere and get you a bath first. How would I invite him to church? I would hope to say that we would tell them to come as they are. Come as you are. And I would say that that's how God is telling us to come to Him. God's not telling us to go out and fix yourself and create and correct all these mannerisms that you have, this cursing problem that you have, or this drug addiction that you have, this alcohol addiction that you have. Go out and fix all that stuff and then come over here to church and then you can come talk to me. That's not what God is telling us. The Lord would tell us to come as you are. He's asking us to come exactly the way we are. I was thinking about an example of, I use a vehicle as an example for myself, and my car's broke down. I have no idea what's wrong with it, right? But I'm changing parts and pulling stuff, and, you know, I'm trying to work on this thing. And then I'm going to go take it to the mechanic. How many things did I break in my efforts to try to fix it that now he's got to try to find out what I did wrong? what I was messing up. And so the Lord just wants us to just bring it to me and let me deal with it. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 14. Well, I guess we can start at 13. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Essentially, Jesus is saying that I came for such as them. If you're righteous, then you really don't have any need for me. If you've already got it all together, then you really don't need me. I came to save sinners. And so come as you are. I think of Levi. He was a publican, maybe considered to be one of the most despicable men at the time. Jesus just said, come. Come and follow me. He went straight to the guy's house and sat and ate with all his friends and may the Lord help us to just realize that we can come to Him the way we are. Matthew chapter 3. This is John the Baptist, and he's preaching the baptism of repentance. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand, and he's telling the people to repent. What does that mean? When we tell somebody to repent, what are we telling them to do? We're telling them to acknowledge a wrong. We're telling them to acknowledge the fact that they've done wrong. And it goes much deeper than that, but that is the initial thing, is that you say, I've sinned. I've committed a trespass. I've sinned against God and I've sinned against man, and it's an act of sorrow or repentance to acknowledge a wrong. And so that's what John was preaching. And starting in verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? When he saw the Pharisees and the Sadducees there, he knew in his heart that they weren't there to repent. They were coming as ones that were righteous and in no need of repentance. But John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Come unto me. He just calling out, come, repent. Repent of your sins. Draw nigh to God. Let God forgive you. An open invitation for all to come. Jerusalem and Judea and the regions round about. Come, confess your sins, confess your faults, fall down before God, and repent. the Lord wants us to come as we are. Exactly the way we are, not hiding who we are, but being open with Him and being honest with ourselves, looking within ourselves and being able to say, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is the life that I lead. The publican saying, you know, I'm a tax collector. I've ripped people off. I've stolen from people. This is who I am. And these are the things that I've done. I think of the adulterous woman. This is who I am. These are the things that I've done. Not coming to God or coming to Jesus with a... this is what I used to be, or this is how I used to do things. But this is who I am. Psalms 51. This is a psalm of David. After he... I mean, the note above is when Nathan the prophet came into him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And so this is a psalm that David writes into God after that encounter. Starting in verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David is starting this psalm off in acknowledgement of what he had done wrong. Nathan had already told him, you are the man. You're the man that took the one sheep from your neighbor and sacrificed it for your friends to eat. When you had many sheep, you're the man. And David was in such a rage at what a person can do in doing that. And Nathan tells him, you are the man. And I imagine that hit David like a rock. That he was the one that committed that trespass. He was the one that committed that sin. But I read this psalm, and he's pouring his heart out to God and saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Verse 2, he says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. So this is how God wants us to present ourselves to Him. Acknowledging our transgressions, acknowledging what we've done wrong, acknowledging the fact that we haven't done everything right, that we've failed in many different areas of our lives, and we can't fix it. We can't fix the things that we've broke. We can't fix the hurts that we've caused. We can't restore the things that we've taken oftentimes. But God is saying to come unto Him with all that. I think of another scripture where He says, come unto me, all ye who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me just the way you are. Acknowledge. Examine your heart. Put it out before God. Acknowledge who you are and what you are and what's in your life. And give it to God. This is what I am. This is who I am. This is how I am. Present that to God. Come as you are. I really believe that God is telling us to come to Him just exactly the way we are. But let me ask you this. Does God want us just the way we are? I'm telling you right now that God wants us to come just the way we are. Exactly how we are, with all the baggage, with all the filth, with all the disgusting things. He wants us to come to Him just like that. But I'm asking you, does He want us that way? Let's go to Ezekiel 36. You know, because many people in this world today would have us to believe that God wants us just the way we are. He tells us to come as we are, and that He accepts us just the way we are. But I'm going to tell you that God does not want us exactly the way we are. God does not want us as an adulteress, or God does not want us as a thief or a murderer. God does not want us that way. He tells us, come unto me just like you are. But I'm telling you, the good news today is that God does not want us to remain that way. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. We can come to God filthy, disgusting. There's scripture where He talks about the defiled woman that's in her muck, and He cleans her up. And that's what He's saying that He's going to do with us. He's going to put clean water upon us. And ye shall be clean, He tells us, from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Come unto me, repent, acknowledge your wrongs. Let me forgive you and cleanse you and restore you. Verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call. I'll stop right there. I will save you from all your uncleannesses. So does God want us just the way we are? No. God wants to change us. You know, we can look at that and think, well, that's a bad thing. Oh, He just wants to change me. Yes, He does. And I would hope that we would want Him to. I think about that man that had the testimony that he wanted these things out of his life. And I would hope that if we had a life like that, that we're sick and tired of the way our life is. We're sick and tired of the things that come to us as a result of who we are and the way we are. But it's good news that God is willing to receive us and take us in. And not just say, well, you know, just stay like that. We'll just deal with it. We'll just suffer it. No, God is much more powerful than that, and His plan is much better than that. He wants to cleanse us and purify us, restore us back to a right relationship with Him, give us newness of life, newness of spirit. He wants to enable us to walk in His statutes. He wants to enable us to walk in judgment and mercy. He wants to create in us a new heart, a clean heart, a loving heart. God wants to change us. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that we don't have to stay the way we've always been. And I thank the Lord that we don't have to carry around the guilt and shame of our past. That we can carry that to Him and leave it at His feet. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's right. You know, I can sympathize with people saying that you don't have the right to be different. You don't have the right to be clean. You don't have the right to be forgiven. And I will tell you that they're correct. Not a one of us deserves it. Not a one of us has the right to be forgiven, has the right to have mercy put upon us. Not a one of us deserves that. But God is merciful. And He does it. He forgives. And He changes people's lives. And I thank God that He's that way. Because I was in a situation where I had nothing coming. And the Lord forgave me and gave me new life and gave me new purpose and new hope, changed my life and blessed me immensely. Did I deserve it? Did I have that coming? No. But God is merciful. And that mercy extends to all. You know, those Sadducees and those Pharisees, by the world's standards, were good men. By the world's standards. If you looked upon them on the surface, you know, they probably did things, you know, pretty conservatively in everything they did. But the salvation thing goes much deeper than that. Jesus spoke to the things that were happening in people's hearts. What was happening in their minds and what was happening underneath the surface. And those Sadducees and those Pharisees, they needed God too. And they needed to be able to go before the Lord and open their heart up to Him and acknowledge their own wrongs and be able to see their own shortcomings and to present those to God. And there were some who did. There were some who had their eyes open that were able to acknowledge the truth. Paul being one of them. So the Lord is telling us to come into Him as we are. But thank God He's not telling us to stay that way. But He's saying, I have a new plan for you. I have a new hope for you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you new. A new creation in Christ Jesus. That's not just a word. That's not just a saying that we say. It's a reality of God wanting to change our lives, making us completely new. It's not just a good saying that we quote from the Scripture, but it's a reality that God wants to create in our lives. A new man, new creation in Christ Jesus. Psalms 51 again. Verse 10, David again speaking, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Can God do that? Can He create in us a clean heart? Can He purify us and make us new? Can He put a right spirit within us? Can He essentially change our nature from a cantankerous old man to a loving, caring, kind-hearted person that is a blessing to be around? Yes, absolutely He can. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Uphold me with Thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors Thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto Thee. Because I'm going to testify into the goodness of God and what He's able to do and what He's done in my life and how He's raised me up and He's cleaned me up and He's created in me a new man and a new heart, a new life. And He can do the same for you. And not just can He do it, but He wants to do it. He can't wait to do it. And that's the good news of what we can give and offer to the people around us that are stuck in their lives, many of them wishing things could be different than what they are. wishing that they can somehow get over, if I could just get over this, or if I can just get over that, then I would be much better in my life. You know what? No, the Lord wants to fix it all. He wants that car driving out of that mechanic shop, a brand new car, restoring it completely, all new. Do we really want a salvation that's going to leave us just the way we are? Could you even really call that a salvation? Saved from what? Punishment, maybe? No, I want a salvation, a full salvation. A salvation that offers deliverance and victory in my life. I don't want to live a life of defeat. And I wouldn't want to offer that to somebody. They're defeated already. They're defeated daily in their daily life and wishing that they could somehow get out of this state that they're in. And I'm going to offer them salvation that leaves them like that? That doesn't have a hope of deliverance from that? No. God has given it so much more than that. And they need to know it. They need to know that God wants to do more than that. And that He's much more powerful than they're giving Him credit for. God is not hindered from doing these things for us. His hands aren't tied. His hand is not shortened that He can't deliver. He can reach into our lives and He can change us. And that is the hope that we have to give others. I feel like we have a world of defeated people that don't know that they can really have victory. They can really have newness of life. So the Lord is telling us, come as you are. But I'm not going to leave you that way. And so I ask now, how should we leave from our interaction with God? We come to Him like we are. And He wants to change us. He wants to make us new. He wants to create in us a clean heart and a new life. How should we leave that experience from Him? How should we leave when we come before the Lord and we present ourselves to Him? I imagine a person at the altar right now crying out to God, confessing their sins, confessing their faults, acknowledging who they really are, and knowing that God can fix it and make it better. And saying, Lord, I'm coming to You. I'm not hiding anything. I'm not putting up a false or anything like that. I'm saying exactly what I am, what I've done. I'm giving it to You. Help me, Lord. Have mercy upon me according to Your tender mercies. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit with me. Cause me to walk into Your ways. Cause me to have the ability to follow after You. I think of that person that's called out to God, giving their heart out to Him, pouring themselves out to Him, laying themselves at His feet. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you rest. And I think about that lame man that comes up to the altar hobbling, or the blind man that needs help to see to get to the altar. Walking away, seeing. And walking away, walking. When we come before God and we come to Him just the way we are, and we leave healed. He came to heal the brokenhearted, to deliver the captives. And that's how we ought to leave. When we have an experience with Him, we should leave new. We should leave restored. I have an example of this. Let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And he saw Jesus. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. I imagine this man, unclothed, wild. This man was wild. And he sees Jesus. And he comes and falls down at his feet. And beseeches him to have mercy on him. Coming as he is. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. I look at this example and it's to me it's a wonderful example of what God wants to do for anybody who would come to Him. This man was wild, no doubt about it. They've tried to bind him. Nothing can hold him. He was naked and crazy. So much so that when the people saw him sitting there and in his right mind, they were afraid. And asked Jesus to leave. The Lord wants to do that for us. Now maybe we're not as wild as that person that's there. But He can change us just the same. He can go deep down into our hearts. And change those things that nobody even knows about. That people don't even know is there. God can reach down. And touch even those parts. If we could just pour it out to Him and open our hearts to Him. Verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went away and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. When the Lord restores our life and gives us new lives, new purposes, new hopes, new dreams, cleanses us from within and without, we have a testimony to give. We have hope to offer. To those that we're in contact with, to those who are in our circle of influence, so to speak, that we can touch them and give them hope that God can do it for them too. He's done it for me and He can do it for you. And so the plan is, come to the Lord just as you are. Don't wait and think that you got to get this right or that right, or if only I can get this corrected in my life, then I'll come and I'll serve God. Let all that go. Come exactly the way you are. Tell God exactly who you are and what you've done, and let Him fix you. Let Him restore you. Let Him cleanse you and purify you and make you new. Come away from that experience never to be the same. That blind man that had his eyes restored was never the same again. That lame man that could never walk, that had never walked, left that experience never the same again. And may the Lord help us to leave our encounter with God never to be the same again. To be new, to be fresh, to be brand new. I thank God for the plan of salvation. I thank the Lord for what He's come to do and what He's already done. And I pray that He'll do it for others too. The plan of salvation is a wonderful plan. And I thank God for it. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.